We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Like any good team, hiring the right employees for your front office is just as important as recruiting the best players for the game. That's why you need Indeed. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. Post, screen, and interview all on Indeed. Get your quality shortlist of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster. Only pay for the candidates that meet must-have qualifications and schedule and complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. Get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, lads and ladies. Welcome back to the Esports Rewind podcast. Same time, same day, every single week. We talk about esports. We talk about gaming. We talk about really cool stuff. Hello, Zane.
Hello, hello, Jake. You know, how has the week been treating you?
It's been amazing, dude. I shouldn't even say that. I didn't say crazy this time. Uh-huh. You know.
Quiet snaps.
I'll be honest, January, February are kind of slower months around here, December as well, so it's been kind of slow. Hopefully things are picking back up, though, as our seasons are now beginning. Call of Duty League, LCS, and all the League of Legends leagues are starting up as well, so hopefully some spicy stuff coming down the pipe.
I already got an eye on a couple stories that could be really hot for the fans out there, but, you know, before we jump into some of, you know, some stuff that might point in that direction, shall we get started on today's topics?
Yeah, you ready to hit it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, viewers, let's go. And Xanifer, the first story I'm going to hit you with is multi-million dollar deals, something not too surprising in the gaming space. They continue to happen, and especially with three big figures that I know you guys all know about, that being Dr. Disrespect, Nick Merckx, Tim the Tap Man. I give you those three names, and I say multi-million dollar deals. What comes to the dome piece?
Ooh, of course, top names in streaming. So I'm thinking immediately orgs. Which teams are they eyeing? Which teams are looking to pick them up? Where are they going in the future?
You know, surprise, surprise, it's actually not that this time around.
Okay,
ironically timed, though, because, you know, Doc's been teasing with OpTic.
Yeah.
Of course, Nick's already with FaZe. And then we have Tim the Tapman.
Tim, like, he's like, oh, yeah, let me get that bag real quick.
Yeah, let me get paid heck of money. This is actually around sports betting sponsorships and partnerships.
Okay, for sure.
Entering the space. Over the past many a months, Tim the Tapman, Nick Merckx really leading the way. I would say maybe overseen by the typical viewer. You don't really think too much of it. Shortly after all the NFL partnerships, for a time, they were actually streaming NFL games, which is really cool to see. They could actually just sit back, watch a game, and get a lot of viewers doing so. Then they started sharing their bets on these games. And, well, like smart men think, and ladies as well, if they're included in the future, they are now solely going to be announcing some gigantic partnerships for sports betting. It was actually Doc first on Twitter this past week hinting that him him and FanDuel would be lining up for something big. And I can tell all of you guys, it seems likely sometime in the near future, Nick Merckx, Tim the Tap Man will follow suit, which all of this adds up. And they are seven-figure deals at the very, very least. Some big money.
100%, especially because we know for a fact, sports betting companies want to get into esports. Mm-hmm. The primary reason they haven't in the past is because, first of all, esports betting isn't legalized in the same way sports betting is in many regions.
Not even close.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is the future goal.
Super limited. And I think, in part, there's also got to be the consideration of the really, really negative connotation with betting in esports and gaming specifically in the past several years. I mean, that's been a large part of the reason why we gotten several offers from betting and gambling companies. And normally we just can't take them because let's be real about the situation. Gambling in esports and gaming is still a very fraught subject.
Yes.
Not one we want to dip our toes into right now.
Very negative connotation as of right now, especially given this past year of gaming. Probably some of the most extreme cheating allegations, match-fixing allegations, throwing things have been thrown out there for big money in esports. And because we're still so early on, there's not that legitimacy. And yet there is obviously corruptness wherever there's money involved, Some sports have their corrupted moments.
But at least they have like a little bit of regulation, like a little bit. They have somebody going like, hey, maybe don't do that.
Yeah, or if you do, you're going to jail.
Yeah,
and as in esports and gaming, it's still so early on. Mm-hmm. And yes, a lot of people do get away with it. And especially if you dip big money into it even further, if you were to legitimize esports betting this early on, it could be very dangerous to see these teams all of a sudden start losing a lot more. And so obviously these big deals are a great sign for streamers to make some extra income. And it's funny because, like you said, to end on this, if we take an esports betting offer, it looks, I'll admit it, it looks kind of weird at this point in time.
A little sketchy right now. Yeah.
But Tim the Tap Man, Nick Merckx, Doc, they sign with sports betting sites.
Those are the three perfect names in my mind, to be honest.
And it's cool.
Yeah.
You think of it, you're like, that's actually really cool. Like, there's no issue with that. I don't think anyone is out there thinking, oh, no.
Oh, no, Doc is going to pay some team to throw
a
game.
He's
going to
bet on the Packers. Yeah, oh, yeah, no. Yeah, yeah, no one's thinking like that. So I cannot wait to see. Hopefully in the future this does lead to an esports kind of thing where all of a sudden streamers are being paid to, or you see them betting big money on Na'Vi or FaZe, whoever it might be. That's what I see 10 to 20 years from now. Can it happen?
It definitely will.
One can dream. Let's hope.
Into another somewhat contentious subject of discussion, real briefly. Let's talk about esports jerseys and merchandise, actually, as we go into 2021.
Zan, my favorite thing.
Yeah, really.
Esports jerseys.
Yeah, we all love them. But the esports industry has grown tremendously in 2020. We've seen record numbers from many different scenes, streaming platforms, etc. Esports is flourishing. Of course, we're struggling in our own very special ways.
We have our problems, for sure.
Yeah, but hey, a lot more people are getting exposed to the scene, which is great to see. Unfortunately, as more people get involved and as the scene grows, we're going to start running into more issues that other industries face. One of which was brought to light by NRG's own Andy Miller last week. Yeah, yeah.
My freaking boy.
Yeah, homie's dope as heck.
I know.
Not gonna lie.
That's a smart mother freaking.
Yeah, real talk. 100%. But anyway, he took to Twitter a little bit ago to expose Amazon and their practices around false esports merchandise being sold by providers that are very clearly not getting the merch from the companies and just making their own prints of like jerseys, t-shirts, hoodies,
just
and
straight up knockoffs.
Yeah, yeah.
Which we should not be surprised by.
We should not be surprised. I'm not surprised they exist. I'm surprised by the volume. Because when I looked at the site that Andy linked, in particular, the storefront on Amazon, there was over 500 different items.
Yeah, I saw. I was reading reviews.
Yeah, yeah. Same. I was looking for like...
There weren't many.
Yeah.
There was a lot of ratings, just not many actual reviews. So people are out there. The funny part to me is people are out there walking around with ripoff merch they might not even know is ripoff.
Which is kind of why I wanted to bring this up, right? Because I'm a fashion guy, right? And
I'm not.
Yeah, and in fashion, and like especially when you get into high fashion streetwear, like the more esoteric tech wear, like stuff from super popular artists like Kanye and stuff, right? Fakes are just part of the nature of the game.
Yep.
And that industry is so strong right now that legitimately I have to like follow several different like fake merchandise providers just so I can tell what flaws they make when they make their fakes. So I know if I'm buying a product, I'm not buying, the fake as opposed to the
legitimate. You think esports and gaming will get there one day?
100%. 100%.
Dang.
Especially because esports is in a place where fashion people care about the small details like quite a bit, right?
Especially if you're like a Phaser 100T.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
can probably, you know, make some nice ripoffs with some of the collabs that FaZe has
and be
making money selling fake FaZe wear.
Very easily, especially because, like, you know, a fashion person will be like, okay, this isn't 100% cotton. This is like 70% like poly cotton or something like that.
And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. And like, you know, the average esports fan is going to be like, oh yeah, no. it's a shirt.
Yeah.
it's got the logo on it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I kind of wanted to tell people something that I wish I had heard when I was first getting into fashion, which is that what you buy says quite a bit about you and your interest.
Why are you going after me like this, dude?
No, I'm not going after you at all. I this is like genuinely like advice I wish I had heard when I started getting into clothes, because like my first high fashion purchase, as basic as it was a pair of Yeezys.
There we go.
Yeah, because I didn't know fashionable shoes could be that cheap retail. Like $200 doesn't sound cheap, but like, you know, it's cheaper than like, I thought it was all like $1,000 minimum, right? So I was like, okay, what is this situation looking like? And I see a pair of Yeezys on sale for $80. I'm like, oh, for sure. Somebody just trying to get rid of them.
Yeah.
Not knowing when I was just getting into it that, oh, obviously that's fake because it's lower and it's not coming from the official source and everything. And that's a trap that I see a lot of my friends fall into. I get text from people constantly sending me like a link to some piece of some shoes or hoodie and be like, oh, hey, this is super cheap. It's on sale. Let me grab them. Like, no, that's fake. Let me say, this is why you don't want to buy fakes, guys, especially for esports. When you buy a piece of esports merchandise, it's not just you buying a hoodie to, you know, so show your support for the organization and the team. It does actually say something about you as a person. And each of these orgs have different designs associated with their hoodies. They have different fits, different materials. And if you buy a hoodie from an org that you truly care about, it's going to mean so much more to you than if you buy a random $20 hoodie off of Amazon that just has a trash blank on it. And it means more to the org as well.
Dude, you just went deeper into esports merch than I ever. I'm just like, I'll support the org. I'll wear that. It looks cool. Mm-hmm. And you're like, it means something, man.
It does.
Well, I will say you might receive some backlash because I did. In my video, I was like, imagine running into like a random mom or dad who don't know any better. Mm. And you have an actual NRG hoodie on and they have a fake Amazon one. And in the video, I was like, can you imagine how funny that would be? And someone was like, Jake, are you down talking people who can't afford actual esports org merch? Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, it would just be funny if they accidentally bought it off Amazon and didn't know. Sorry.
I saw that specifically, which is why I was trying to get deep into it to try to explain
to people. Yeah, I was like,
I
didn't mean that. How did you take it like that? Like, I don't care that much, but yes, for me, it came down to you're supporting the organization. Obviously, yes, some merch is more expensive than others. But it's okay. Yeah,
we have statements from like people like Ocelot being like, hey, yeah, orgs, especially high profile ones, can lose millions per year on like fake products sold.
If this were to take off in the wrong direction,
yeah, 100%.
Especially like FaZe. If someone was successful enough to rip off FaZe Clan, they would be losing out on some big money. Mm-hmm. So
absolutely, and let's be very clear, I'm that problematic fashion guy. I will notice if somebody's wearing something fake that I know about, right? But I will never say anything, or I won't think less of them for it, because who cares? I mean, you're wearing what you like to wear as long as it looks good on you, as long as you're like, you know, just chilling with it. Who gives
it? And I would never notice.
A frick? Yeah. I think it's a lot. You wouldn't notice somebody wearing a fake optic hoodie unless it was like real bad, like optic with like a Q or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which would almost be funnier. Either way, esports merch and the ripoffs, they are going to continue. We'll see in 2021 who's making the most off that merch. And we all know the answer. All right, Xanifer, you dropped the stats last week, so I thought maybe going to drop some on you. We're going to talk about the top streamers now revealed for the year of 2020. With that year now finally wrapping up, all the numbers are coming out, and we've talked about, I believe there was three different Streamer of the Year awards, Valkyrie, Nick Merckx, and Ebi, formerly of G2, all won at different awards show the Streamer of the Year, but the actual stats for most watched streamers are now out there, and some of you might be surprised, others probably not. When it comes time for the male side, XQC, dominant performance.
Of course.
The man does nothing but stream. And this is crazy because, yes, despite the OTV Rust server, he wasn't averaging the highest concurrent, I do not think. He was certainly up there. But a guy like Gales from the CSGO scene was probably a higher average. But XQC just streams so gosh dang much. He dominated, I believe, several million hours in front of anyone else. So XQC, Gales, Summit, also up there for streamer hours. Nobru, which is actually from the Free Fire space.
Okay, yeah, that's why I'm not familiar with the name at all. Yeah,
yeah, looked him up, and yeah, it's, I believe also the South American fan base. I mean, crazy. Of course, you got a guy like Gall is up there.
Of course,
the entire Egoland boys. You know, Oren plays so successful. Mm. So pretty crazy to see. And then very lastly, Nick Merckx rounds out your top five. Ebi also in your top 10, by the way, for those South American viewers. Just crazy on Twitch. When it comes time for top five females, no surprise for the top two. They were battling back and forth all year long. Valkyrae takes your number one spot.
I'm guessing the second one is Pokey.
You are correct.
Oh, let's
and
go.
Then three ones that you might not hear about here in the gaming space or esports side. Sad Dummy, and I apologize if I mispronounce these. Pakora, and then Ginny. I've heard about Ginny as well. I believe at least two of those three are mostly just chatters on the Twitch website. So it's pretty crazy to see amidst that list, you look towards the top male guys and the top females at the very, very top. Of those top five, a number of them have signed to esports or gaming organizations. And then if you include Pokimane being tied to offline TV, it's going to be cool to see as we creep into 2021 if more esports and gaming organizations can even afford these tippity-top streamers as they continue to dominate.
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And I think affording these very top-of-mind streamers is going to become increasingly difficult. And it may become less of a financial thing and more of a, what can we offer you from an operations standpoint?
Just like FaZe and Nick Merckx.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yep. What can we do like to help elevate your stream to the next level? What can we do to help bring you more deals? What can we do like in XYZ way in exchange for that streamer promoting their brand? I definitely want to give a huge shout out to XQC. I think it's amazing that he managed to cinch that number one spot despite being involved in like so much controversy, literally constantly.
It's because it works, man.
Yeah, it works. It works.
I would say shouts to Summit. I mean, really, we only have a few stories, you know, maybe once a month around the guy. Mm-hmm. Love the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's not averaging massive concurrence compared to all of the rest in the top 10.
He's got that solid, firm base, though.
He's just a sleeper. I mean, dude streams all he wants, what he wants, and he can still crack the top 10 consistently. It's crazy to see. And also a huge shouts to both G2 and 100T. I think the biggest steals of the year. Now, Ebi has obviously now left G2 for his own project, but it's pretty crazy to see G2 sign Ebi, 100 Thieves sign Valkyrae, and within a year of both those signings, Valkyrae might have been a bit longer, both of them rise to be top male and female streamers whilst being under the organization. I mean, what a great time and exposure.
Excellent job by the recruiters, like really locking those people
down. To see that potential.
Right before they blew up.
Yeah.
Because it was like not even, like probably like a year.
It wasn't like an LGXQC. Yeah. They caught it before it even happened. So that's some great
stuff.
Not
to say that they weren't already doing amazingly beforehand, but like, you know, yeah.
Yes, obviously. Yeah.
Just Ebi be super clear that we're not. Yeah.
Ebi and Ray were still killing the game, but before they really, really blew up, these organizations capitalized. So the top lists are now out there for 2020. The giant question being for 2021, who will maybe make an entrance newly to the top 10 and top fives?
All right, my last topic for the week is some FGC news, because, you know, I got to touch on the big stuff.
Of course, yeah, when it arises. Huge stories.
Unfortunately, hey, the FGC is a niche, so I got to give them a shout out when we can, just to, you know, get the word out. But anyway, the FGC is doing something that a lot of other scenes have tried to do in their own various ways and with varying levels of success in establishing a community-wide code of conduct. 2020 was a rough year for the FGC.
I'm not going to say anything. I won't say anything.
Well, hey.
Good timing, I guess.
Better
late than never.
There's a good reason it's coming out this year. Last year was a bad one.
Community conduct, rule number one. Don't interact with kids.
I think like the top five rules, when they actually get to like the rule list, were like, no sexual assault, no sexual harassment, all this stuff will be monitored.
Are they actually rules that are pretty straightforward in society, or?
More or less, yeah. A lot of them are like, just don't be garbage individuals. Let's not do that. And, you know, I think it's good to have these rules in place because, yeah, it does matter that people know 100% don't do these things. Because very clearly in 2020, we have a lot of examples.
How many? We broke 100, didn't we?
We broke 100.
We only covered 3 or 4 because we could not keep up.
It was too much. We didn't even cover several of the super big ones because it was like too much.
And it was too heavy. Like that kind of stuff, I mean, that's what I was going to say could sound kind of weird. I mean, God forbid for the victims in this situation, obviously, you know, I can't imagine. But it also takes a toll to cover that many stories in a row because you have to read into all the details, and it's just kind of it's a crappy hole to go down.
Yeah, especially when in a lot of cases there isn't a lot of evidence. There's not a lot of very clear proof. So, you know, you don't want to directly throw shade, throw somebody under the bus for some very serious accusations without having backing to it, even if you believe the people who are making the accusations don't want to spread it necessarily.
It's very scary.
Yeah, but you know, this is a good thing, definitely, that there is a code of conduct getting established. But the issue that I found in this, and the issue that I've taken with many others in the esports industry broader, is that I don't see this being effective even slightly. Because
wow, you just kind of surprised me. I would actually tend to agree, because these rules should have already been known just because you made them in writing.
Yeah, and of course there are a couple like very small details. What's your reasoning? Ones. Yeah, we've seen not quite in the same circumstances. Of course, other scenes haven't had the same uprising of very serious allegations levied against them. The FGC did in 2020,
not to the extent, not even close to the extent.
Yeah,
but certainly had their issues.
Yeah, definitely, right. But even when they've tried to, other scenes speaking, when they tried to address much less serious problems like just like the treatment of players, like proper pay, you know, stuff like that, which, not to say those are less serious, but different categories,
yeah,
I'd say, right?
100%.
And they've found very little success in that, even when they have, like, you know, high-ranking players, high-ranking members of organizations, even when we have stuff like the ESIC getting started, like you see very little change happen. And in this case in particular, there weren't even any recognizable names on the list of signatories to this code of conduct. Top TOs, only one really high profile member of the industry that I can name, Ultra David. And, you know, these aren't people who are unreachable. Like, heck, I mean, I'm not a big guy in the FGC, and I can still talk to some of these people every now and again, right? And if something like this doesn't even get a response, you got to imagine it's pretty moot. My question to you is, like, we've seen this time and time again with different players' organizations, different codes of conduct. Do you have any idea what esports can do to really better itself in this way? Because it's so far, all these attempts aren't working out.
Now, we don't know everything, but when it comes time directly talking about player associations, I have yet, and I've been doing this for, you know, a few years at least, I've seen the rise and fall of a ton of player associations. And I myself personally, maybe you guys can listening, I cannot name a single player association for a single game or esport out there that has been overwhelmingly successful to the point where everyone's like, yo, that's a good model. Mm-hmm. We should copy that. Mm-hmm. I've seen the fall, I believe, in Dota, League of Legends, CSGO, Call of Duty never came to fruition, Fortnite never came to fruition, League of Legends is starting to start one up again, and we'll see if that one works. No, this is just, again, it's too new on. I don't think... Until we get some big, big wigs out there who have an established plan and a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of want to actually communicate in and out with players, it's going to take a long time. And, you know, hopefully we're talking about it differently, you know, 20, 30 years from now. But I don't know how long these kind of things
hopefully
take.
Hopefully it doesn't take 20 years.
I mean, yeah, that's just kind of a random timeline.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
I haven't seen it done well. And I think especially when you're in a problematic scene like that, with, again, knock on wood, can it get much worse?
I mean, the answer is definitely yes. I mean, we've seen it time and time again. Every time you think esports can't get worse, unfortunately,
well, at the very end of the day, hopefully establishing these rules makes it so people at FGC events or in the community itself are looking out for one another
hopefully
a bit better.
Yeah. Or at least there are more appropriate repercussions for, you know, bad behavior.
Yeah.
More immediately than years down the line. My one suggestion was going to be that if we want any of these organizations, any of these codes of conduct to succeed, we need to get the CEOs of esports organizations down. I think those are the signatures that matter. If we get all esports org CEOs to agree to
and TOs.
And TOs, of course, right? But I think it starts with the orgs themselves, because we've had TOs involved in these things before and it hasn't worked out. And if we can get the org owners down to say, hey, yeah, if you don't abide by this, you can't compete for us at all, then, you know, that's the type of thing I think we'll actually see a change from.
Yeah, and I guess we'll see where we go from here in the FGC. Certainly 2020 was a miserable year. Hopefully a bit better in 2021.
Fingers crossed.
But on a happier note there, folks, we reached the end of this Find Their podcast, the Esports Rewind podcast, same time, same day, every single week. Yeah! Zan, want to give them that good old outro?
Yeah, yeah. As always, thank you so much for joining us here for the Esports Rewind podcast, sharing with you the top esports news stories throughout the entire week. You know, if you'd like to listen to the Esports Rewind podcast on the go on your mobile phone, on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere you listen to your podcast, you can type in Prediction. We're part of the Prediction Esports Type Show Talk Show Network. That's PREDICTION. By all means, go check us out. Shout out to all of our audio listeners. We greatly appreciate you supporting the podcast. Oh my God, Jake.
Ow! Sorry.
Jake almost ruined his elbow. Anyway, you know, shout out to all of our listeners there, and as well as our listeners on TV stations out there in Canada especially.
I love you guys, eh?
Sorry. Is that your attempt at a Canadian accent? Hey. Anyway, for all of our viewers out there, thank you so much for tuning in. You can find our daily esports news content at Esports Talk on YouTube. You can also reach out to us at any point in time on Twitter as well as Instagram. Twitter, that's talk_esports. Instagram is esports_talk. And just this week, we started posting consistently to TikTok again.
Find us on TikTok.
Just type in Esports Talk. You'll find us. You know the logo, fam.
We're trying out more things. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll have some behind the scenes content for you there as well as some like really brief news breakdown. So by all means, go follow, subscribe, whatever it is on that platform. It really does help us out a lot. Jake, any words for the people?
We'll catch you back here next time, folks. Until then, take care. You're
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.